Seattle's Space Needle turned 50 years old last year. It was built for the 1962 World's Fair. The public loved it immediately, but the architectural critics of the time were much less enthusiastic. They called it a monstrosity. They said it was pretentious and vulgar. Knute Berger spent much of 2012 sitting at a table inside the Space Needle where he worked as its writer-in-residence. His private area was roped off by those dividers they used to make lines at the movie theater. Sometimes tourists would stop and stare at him like he was an exhibit. Knute sympathizes with those tourists. He's always loved the Space Needle, ever since he saw it under construction in 1961. He told KUOW's Joshua McNichols why the critics hated it so much.
During the World's Fair, there was an architectural forum that was held on the fairgrounds, and Warnett Kennedy, a well-respected architect from British Columbia, came, and he described the Space Needle as a beautiful example of gimmick texture, yeah, and sort of derided the whole idea of restaurants and strange objects.
What's the problem with a gimmick? I mean, is it because it smacks of advertising? And
yes, I think the short answer is it's commercial. And it's popular. I mean, there's a suspicion about anything that people like too much. Buildings like the Space Needle and the Science Center were purposely designed to inspire people. They weren't designed simply to be pretty sculptures. They were designed for people to walk up to them and go, wow, and to lead people to some higher sense of purpose. And I think that's seen as kind of the job of advertising. In other words, that you've dragged these architectural sculptures into the realm of being pitchmen.
Eventually, the critics started to mellow out. A local critic called the Space Needle Seattle's emotional anchor. Then one day in 1971, a big, important national critic came to town, Wolf von Eckart of the Washington Post.
And he said that the Space Needle was impressive yet somehow cozy, just this side of kitsch. I love it, he said. And
so he's recognizing that kitsch connection, that gimmickry, but embracing it in a way that was anathema to the purists of the 1960s.
That's right. I think there's a kind of a rebellion going on in modern architecture where people are telling it to lighten up. Same way with pop art, kind of told modern art to lighten up. I think there was a way in which those attitudes began to change. And, here you had a serious architecture critic coming to town. He did not like the Smith Tower. It was interesting. He called it a Victorian afterbirth. So he wasn't somebody who minced words. And, you know, so you kind of take his enthusiasm for the Space Needle and note that. And subsequently, the scholars and architects and authors who work in the field of mid-century modern architecture have come to respect that era of a sort of space-age design, the sense of fun. And Alan Hess, a California architect who's an expert on mid-century modern architecture, he said that he thought the Space Needle was like the Eiffel Tower, that it had kind of earned its place as a unique icon, and said that he thought it embodied the exuberance and the structural exploration that of the times in which it was built. And so there was, I think, subsequently, there's been a lot of interest in the kind of experimentation that was going on in the 60s with materials. The thing that people really oohed and aahed about with the Space Needle was, well, one question was, is it going to tip over? You know, and of course it's not. They built a massive foundation. It was just unbelievable how much concrete and rebar is down there. But the other thing was, it's where the Space Needle narrows and then it widens out. And that's what freaked people out. It was those pieces of steel bending back at the waist and then holding this tray, which is the saucer, up there. And from a structural standpoint, it just sends a message of there's a kind of tension in there that suggests a kind of structural adventure that you wouldn't have seen. I mean, the Eiffel Tower is like a pyramid. It goes to a point. And here in the modern era, you build a tower, but then you flare it out and it looks precarious, but it's not, because you have these modern materials that you're building it with.
That was Knute Berger speaking with KUOW's Joshua McNichols at Seattle Center. You can learn more about the Space Needle's history in Knute's book. It's called Space Needle, The Spirit of Seattle. You can also find that interview online at KUOW.org/KUOW Presents. And if you heard the story a few minutes ago about the Transamerica Pyramid in San Francisco, listen to this. In the early 1970s, the Washington Post would refer to that famous San Francisco building as a, quote, second-class World's Fair Space Needle, unquote. So there.